find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Waukesha first grade teacher has been fired due to a controversy over a song. Terry Bell reports.
Melissa Temple was let go after a hearing that lasted several hours yesterday. Temple got in trouble with the district for criticizing the school district's decision to ban the song Rainbow Land from the spring concert at Higher Elementary School. The superintendent says the song was inappropriate. Temple says the district never let her know which part of the song was controversial. The school district says Temple violated school district policy by taking her objections to Twitter. Temple says she feels like a victim of censorship. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Republican state lawmakers are out with two new bills to ban transgender girls and women from participating in female sports in Wisconsin. Supporters say the bills are needed to keep competition on the field and for scholarships fair. The transgender community and their allies say the bills could harm kids and young adults in the transgender community. The new bills are nearly identical to two bills from 2 years ago. Both of those passed the Assembly but stalled in the state Senate in 2021. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources now has greater authority to use unspent funds to preserve Wisconsin's natural spaces. Melissa Kay with more.
Governor Tony Evers used a line item veto when signing the budget earlier this month to free up the borrowing authority for the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. That program is responsible for preserving natural resources, expanding outdoor recreation opportunities, and protecting waterways and fisheries. With the partial veto, the Wisconsin DNR will have over $20 million in the program freed up to put toward those efforts. That sum comes from the many stewardship projects that have been denied or delayed throughout the year. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
A new scam making the rounds uses an old twist. The Internal Revenue Service says bad actors are sending fake refund letters in the mail. The mailings are asking for personal information to get an unclaimed refund. Amy Novziger is the AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
They're going through an old method for a lot of us, but a new method for some of us. And when things do come through the mail, oftentimes we do pay a little bit more attention to it because it's a physical item in our hands.
The IRS says there are plenty of red flags in these mailings, including bad grammar and punctuation and wrong information. You'll need to be up north for a chance to see the Aurora Borealis this weekend. With the updated forecast, meteorologists now believe Wisconsinites north of Highway 8 will have the best chance in the state to see the northern lights over the next 3 days. Earlier in the week, it was possible for the entire state to see the auroras. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. The Northern Wisconsin State Fair continues today in Chippewa Falls. The event, in its 125th year, saw a record crowd of over 100,000 people attend last year. Executive Director Rusty Volk said improvements to facilities at the fair are long overdue.
It's pretty awesome. So yes, we had to rebuild barns, replace old barns, and finally, after 14 years, we've come to that conclusion to get her done.
Five new buildings were built in part to increase space for animal exhibits. The fair runs through Sunday and features musical acts Justin Moore, Nelly, and Styx. And speaking of music, today is the first day of Rockfest in Kidott. The three-day music festival, which sold out of campsites and premium seating months ahead of time, includes headliners Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy general admission tickets at the gate. And after a rainy Wednesday, temperatures today will be a little bit warmer. There's still some chances of scattered showers and storms here in western Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks getting ready to face the Heat. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks continue summer league play when they face the Miami Heat in Las Vegas. Tip-off coming up at 4:30 this afternoon, coverage on NBA TV. Milwaukee is 2-1 so far, coming off of that loss Tuesday night to the Brooklyn Nets, 92-71. After the game, Coach Adrian Griffin said the team had lost their composure. Sydney Dobner became the first woman ever hired by the Bucks as an assistant coach.
Day in and day out, I just want to do my job. I just want to be good at coaching basketball. I just want to help this team be better. So breaking the ceiling is like a bonus. You know, you don't imagine that you're going to be able to do, but somebody has to be the first. And I'm very thankful that this organization has given me the opportunity to be that person. And I'm going to do the best of my ability to set good standards for other people around the league and people trying to get this opportunity.
NFL ESPN reporting that Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets will be the team featured this summer on HBO's Hard Knocks. The Jets actually begin training camp next week. They're playing in the Hall of Fame game the first week of August. The New York Post says that running back Saquon Barkley could possibly miss the season opener for the Giants because of a contract dispute. The Giants put the franchise tag on him, and they have until next Monday to sign him to an extension. Several former Packers have been nominated for next year's class of Hall of Fame inductees, including former coach Mike Holmgren, receiver Sterling Sharp, and quarterback Cecil Isbell, who in the 1940s threw passes to the legendary Don Hudson. Baseball, following the All-Star game, MLB has announced that next year the season will kick off between the Dodgers and the Padres in Seoul, South Korea. Several rule changes has made baseball games go quicker this year. I asked Craig Counsell, is he concerned that these rules to speed up the game could one day affect the outcome of a playoff game?
They're small things, and hopefully they don't come up that much, and they don't really come up that much, but, you know, baseball is a way of putting the small things in the biggest spots by accident, and then we can't stop talking about them.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thursday morning, the 13th day of July. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. You can hear this show Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. And if you want to join us on the phone, feel free. The phone number to call is 715-388-7155. Outside today should be a pretty nice summer day, partly sunny in most locations, with highs in the upper 70s if you're way up in the Hayward area, and in the low 80s in most other places. 82 projected for Eau Claire and Richland Center. 83 projected for a high today in La Crosse. In sports, the Brewers resume play on Friday night, tomorrow night, after the All-Star break. That'll be in Cincinnati for the big three-game series down in the Queen City, Cincinnati. And hello to my producer, Aaron. How are you doing today, bud?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Yeah? Anything big going on in your world right now?
Well, I'm going to be hanging out with my dad and some friends going up north this weekend. Spend some time in nature.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Are you guys going to be camping or just hanging out at the lake or something like that?
We'll be, my dad's side of the family has a cabin, and we'll be going out on the lake and doing some fishing.
Oh, man. That sounds like a great way to spend a summer weekend. So have fun with that. Hey, I'm looking at the headlines right now. A lot of stuff going on in the headlines. You may have heard that the president was at the big NATO summit yesterday, delivered a fiery speech denouncing Vladimir Putin and pledging support to Ukraine. Also, more locally, several Democrats are now considering a run for Wisconsin's third congressional seat, held for 26 years by Democrat Ron Kind and now held by Derek Van Orden, Republican since January. And also, Republican lawmakers in Madison released two proposals yesterday that would ban transgender girls and women from participating in female sports at every grade level and in college. Also, you probably heard, or you may have heard, that a teacher in Waukesha, Wisconsin, was fired for criticizing the banning of a song called Rainbow Land, a song by Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton, lost her job, voted unanimously by the board to fire her because she spoke up and said, is this what we should be doing? Seems like a lot of people these days are in favor of banning songs and banning books. What's it all leading to? Hey, I wanted to mention that I wanted to get to this one story about all of the people who are considering a run for the third congressional seat. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just updated an hour ago. It says the field of Democrats considering a challenge to Derek Van Orden in purple congressional district expands. A number of new Democratic faces are considering jumping into the race for Wisconsin's battleground third congressional seat, raising the prospect of a primary just days after the campaign announcement of a Democrat who fell short in a bid for the seat last year. State Representative Katrina Shankland, a Democrat from Stevens Point, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday that she is exploring a run for the Western Wisconsin seat, and Missy Hughes, who is the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and a member of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' cabinet, is also considering a bid, according to Democrats in both Wisconsin and Washington. Tara Johnson, former chair of the La Crosse County Board, told the Journal Sentinel she is weighing a run, too. Quote, there are people encouraging me to consider it, Shanklin said, of joining the race to take on freshman Republican U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden. She said, I'm exploring it right now. I'm very interested in helping make sure that we flip the seat blue and ensure that we have a voice for working families and seniors. End quote. Should Shankland, Hughes, or Johnson join the race, they would be the first Democrats to declare a bid for the seat who did not run in the district in 2022. On Monday, former Eau Claire business owner Rebecca Cook, who placed second in last year's Democratic primary in the third, announced she is running again. State Senator Brad Pfaff, who lost to Van Orden by 4 points in the general election, and former CIA officer Deb McGrath, the third-place finisher in last year's primary, also have not ruled out another bid. The developments in the race mean Democrats could see a primary race for the seat they lost last year following the retirement of former Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind after 26 years in that seat. Though the district has trended redder, more red in recent years, the 3rd Congressional District is just one of two competitive districts in the state and could play a key role in Democrats' efforts to flip control of the House in 2024. So you see how important this race is. Republicans, however, have defended Van Orden while attempting to tie Democrats in the state to President Joe Biden. Quote, Congressman Derek Van Orden has been a champion for Western Wisconsin, working tirelessly to ensure Wisconsin families, veterans, and farmers have an effective voice in Congress. Republican Party of Wisconsin spokesperson Rachel Reisner said in a statement, extreme Democrats who offer more of the same tax and spend policies that have driven up inflation, made us more energy dependent on foreign nations, and taken money out of working Wisconsinites' pockets won't turn any eyes in the third. End quote. Shankland Wednesday evening told the Journal Sentinel that she had been encouraged to run by party leaders in the area, and she's had conversations with the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, House Democrats' campaign arm. Quote, first and foremost, the majority of people in Wisconsin and across the country would agree that they want representatives who will always have their backs and who are fighting for working families and seniors, Shanklin said, and that's what the people of Western and Central Wisconsin deserve. I think most people would also agree that's not what our current congressman, Derek Van Orden, is doing, she said. One factor in Shanklin's decision, however, is the potential for the state Supreme Court to hear a challenge to the state's electoral maps, which could change the configuration of the district and potentially remove Stevens Point from the 3rd Congressional District, which it joined as part of the 2011 redistricting process. It's not clear whether liberals will challenge the state's congressional lines. Quote, in parentheses, that's why I'm exploring it at this time, Shanklin noted. Meanwhile, Hughes, the WEDC, Economic Development Corporation chief, has made calls to top Wisconsin Democrats around the state as she ponders her own bid to challenge Van Orden. Hughes did not respond to multiple messages from the Journal Sentinel seeking comment. And despite the prospect of multiple Democrats throwing their hats into the race, both potential contenders and local party officials in the area did not wince at the idea. Johnson, the former La Crosse County board chair, suggested a primary is a good opportunity to talk through issues. And William Garcia, the chairman of the La Crosse County Democrats, who was recently elected Democrats' 3rd congressional district chair, said a primary provides the chance to draw attention to the race. Quote, there's going to be a whole primary spot where we are just talking about Democratic issues, the reasons for electing Democrats, choosing the best Democrat for the job, Garcia said. And I just feel like in terms of media coverage and things like that, that means that we're going to have a lot more messaging out a lot sooner. I think that regardless of who gets in the race, the people who are all considering it right now are equally committed to ensuring that we have the best possible person, Shanklin said. So it looks like it could be a pretty big field getting into the race for the Democratic nominee in the 3rd congressional seat. And I think that's a good thing. As we just read that quote from Mr. Garcia, it's a good thing to discuss Democratic values and what the Democrats plan to do if they should flip that seat back to blue. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303, 715-470-1303. 470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifens.com/disclosure.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today, 82. The wind will be from the west at 5 to 15. Partly cloudy this evening, as chance of thunderstorms after midnight tonight, 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms, 84. The weekend, mostly sunny, upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
After 8 o'clock, there it is. That's the song. That's the song that stirred up all the controversy in Waukesha. Yeah, that song promoting the fact that we should all be able to live together was way too much. It was too controversial, so they had to remove it from a concert that was planned. And a teacher spoke up. She said, "Wait a minute, what's wrong with a song that teaches us or that promotes the fact that we should all be living together?" And in fact, my producer, Aaron, pointed out that the song that we ended that previous segment with, the Sly and the Family Stone song, Everyday People, talks about the same thing. I'm no better, neither are you. We're all the same, whatever we do. You love me, you hate me, you know me. And then you can figure out the bag I'm in. It's like we can all live together, can't we? Well, don't be putting it into a song and trying to put it into a kid's concert, because they'll ban it. And then if you speak up about it, if you criticize those who want to ban songs and ban books, you lose your job. This is a headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says, the Waukesha teacher who criticized the school district's Rainbowland ban has been fired. That song, by the way, in case you couldn't tell, is by Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton. This story here says the Waukesha School Board has fired a Waukesha teacher who has publicly criticized the Waukesha School District's decision to ban the song Rainbowland from an elementary school concert. The board members voted 9-0 unanimously to fire Melissa Temple after a hearing at the district's Blair Administration Building on Wednesday. The hearing lasted almost 4 hours and was held mostly in open session at Temple's request. After the hearing in open session, board members deliberated for over an hour and a half in closed session before returning to open session to vote. The hearing came almost 2 months after Waukesha School District Superintendent James Siebert recommended Temple be fired for a tweet criticizing the district's decision to ban the Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton song, saying it violated district policy. At the time, Temple was working as a first grade dual language teacher at Higher Elementary School. After the hearing, Temple's attorney, Summer Murshid, told media she and Temple were disappointed in the decision. Quote, "This is not a case about culture wars or rainbows. It's a case about constitutional rights. And Ms. Temple has them like every other person in this country. I think we are moving forward with next steps. And Ms. Temple looks forward to vindicating her rights in federal court," Murshid said. And she did not give a timeline for when a lawsuit would be filed, saying a press release would be issued at that time. Temple thanked those who supported her. She said, "I also wanted to say hi to my students, since I wasn't able to talk with them since March. And I really miss you guys and love you and wanted to be there with you this year. I hope that we get to see each other really soon." Mark Kaposius, the attorney who oversaw the hearing, told a reporter the board would likely have a statement Thursday morning about its decision. Before the hearing, the parent group, Alliance for Education in Waukesha, held a silent rally outside the district's Blair administration building in support of the teacher, in support of Temple. A smaller counter rally at the same time and place supported the school district. One of the attendees, David Driggenberg, a member of the Alliance, said the conversation is about First Amendment rights. "We feel like Superintendent Siebert's recommendation for her to be fired, for her to be terminated, goes against her First Amendment rights as an employee of a public school district. We're wearing black, reminding folks that there's an attempt to silence teachers, and we've seen it in other avenues. Whether it's what they can wear in the classroom, pins that they can put on their lanyards, things like that. We've seen those First Amendment rights under assault before. But this is where the rubber meets the road," Driggenberg said. Sarah Schindler, whose child was a student in Temple's class, also showed up at the silent rally in support of Temple, the teacher. Quote, "She has a right to her free speech. She's a citizen of this country, just like everybody else. And it shows that people support that," Schindler said. "Does seem like things are changing, does it not? It seems like if you speak up and you criticize those who are banning books and banning songs, they'll seek retribution. You may even get fired and lose your job." 28 minutes after 8 o'clock, stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. A strike is imminent now that the union representing Hollywood actors has not been able to reach a deal with studios and streamers. Some A-list actors support joining Hollywood writers on the picket lines, including Margot Robbie.
I'm very much in support of all the unions, and I'm a part of SAG, so I would absolutely stand by that.
Surveying the damage after several tornadoes in the Chicago area, CBS's Roxana Saberi reports.
Elgin, a community northwest of Chicago, took a hit. Several homes were damaged. The tornadoes capped days of severe weather in the Chicago area, including hailstorms and heavy winds.
Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville continues to hold up military promotions over the issue of abortion. He spoke to CBS's David Martin.
Aren't you dragging the military into politics?
I want to keep politics out of military. It is ruining our military.
Tuberville objects to a policy that allows abortion access for service members. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire
state. 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. In a special session last night, the Eau Claire County Board voted to get rid of its chairperson. Nick Smyer was removed as board chair on a 17-9 vote. After the motion discussed and focused on how he handled the investigation into spending by the county's Department of Health Services, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The board was also set to discuss the county administrator position in closed session, but postponed the agenda item. The Northern Wisconsin State Fair continues today in Chippewa Falls. The event, in its 125th year, saw a record crowd of over 100,000 people attend last year. Five new buildings were built in part to increase space for animal exhibits. The fair runs through Sunday and features musical acts Justin Moore, Nelly, and Styx. And speaking of music, today is the first day of Rockfest in Kidott. The three-day music festival, which sold out of campsites and premium seating months ahead of time, includes headliners Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy general admission tickets at the gate. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. The Todd Alma Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So, but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:34 right now, and just before the break, We were discussing a few different things. By the way, if you would like to get in on the conversation today, feel free to give us a call. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about any of the topics we've been discussing today. The firing of the teacher in Waukesha for speaking up and criticizing the fact that the Rainbow Land song was removed from a concert, or the fact that it seems like there are several Democrats who might want to jump into the race for the third congressional seat, which is what we were discussing at the beginning of the show. Now I want to draw your attention to the big speech that happened yesterday by our president, Joe Biden. Biden knocking Putin and soothing Zelensky at eventful NATO summit. That's the headline from Reuters. Did you get to hear any of the speech? I thought it was pretty important. And by the way, how important is NATO? How important do you think that is? I would say it's pretty darn important, especially now that we see Russian aggression going on, Russian troops trying to take over Ukraine, although now, over a year later, it doesn't look like it was going to be as easy as they thought it was. So obviously, supporting NATO is more important now than ever. And I should remind our listeners that when the previous president was in office, back around 2018, it was often said that he wanted to remove the United States from NATO. He wanted to get out of the pact. He wanted to give up our place in NATO, and that would have devastating consequences, obviously, if you have somebody like Vladimir Putin just waiting to pounce on Eastern European countries that used to be part of the USSR. Let me give you a little bit of the story from Reuters, and then we'll listen to a little bit of what the president had to say yesterday. This is Dateline Vilnius. It says, U.S. President Joe Biden concluded a NATO summit on Wednesday, denouncing Russian President Vladimir Putin as craven and promising Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky full support, even without membership in the military alliance, capping the two-day meeting of NATO leaders in Lithuania on Russia's doorstep. Biden praised the people of the formerly Soviet-occupied country while heralding the addition of Finland to the alliance and the prospective admission of neighbor Sweden. Biden, who has made unifying NATO countries a foreign policy priority, said Putin had badly underestimated their resolve. Quote, NATO is stronger, more energized, and yes, more united than ever in its history. Indeed, more vital to our shared future. It didn't happen by accident. It wasn't inevitable, Biden said to thousands of people at Vilnius University, many of them cheering him on with Lithuanian and American flags. Quote, when Putin and his craven lust for land and power unleashed his brutal war on Ukraine, he was betting NATO would break apart. He thought our unity would shatter at the first testing. He thought democratic leaders would be weak, but he thought wrong. End quote. Biden's speech aimed to rally allies and showcase his role on the world stage ahead of a 2024 re-election campaign focused on healing divisions at home and abroad. Sweden's entry into NATO comes as Turkey, which once opposed the admission, is due to get F-16 fighter jets from the United States. Before meeting Biden and other leaders, Zelensky criticized NATO. And I wonder if that's a typographical error. That last sentence I read said, Sweden's entry to NATO comes as Turkey, which once opposed the admission, is due to get F-16 fighter jets from the United States. But I know that Turkey opposed the admission, but I'm wondering if those fighter jets are going to Turkey, because in the next sentence here, it says, before meeting Biden and other leaders, Zelensky criticized NATO for not offering a clear pathway for Ukraine to join the alliance, calling it absurd. But I'm wondering if those planes are going to Turkey or if they're going to Ukraine. Hey, Aaron, you don't have any insight on that, do you?
I do not.
Maybe the planes are going to Turkey and eventually we'll get to Ukraine. But I'm going to get to a little bit more of this story, and then we're going to play some of the president's speech from yesterday. It says here, Biden, who opposes Ukraine membership at this time, told reporters before leaving Vilnius that Zelensky's concerns were assuaged after G7 leaders made new security pledges. So it wasn't all of the members of NATO, it's just the G7 countries. And a quote here from Biden says, one thing Zelensky understands now is that whether or not he's in NATO now is not relevant, as long as he has the new commitments that have been made at the summit, Biden told reporters. He's not concerned about that now, is the quote from Biden. And despite the public goodwill, U.S. officials privately struggled with their counterparts in Vilnius and to forge a consensus on where the war was headed, how to bring it to a close, and what assurances to give Ukraine about its future in the Atlantic Military Alliance, according to four NATO diplomats involved in those conversations. And I think now would be a good time to play that clip that you have, Aaron, from Biden yesterday. Take a listen to this, folks.
A choice between a world defined by coercion and exploitation, where might makes right, or a world where we recognize that our own success is bound to the success of others. When others do better, we do better as well. The defense of freedom is not the work of a day or a year. It's the calling of our lifetime, of all time. We are steeled for the struggle ahead. Our unity will not falter, I promise you. We will not waver. We will not waver. I mean that. Our commitment to Ukraine will not weaken. We will stand for liberty and freedom today, tomorrow, and for as long as it takes. Putin still wrongly believes that he can outlast Ukraine. He can't believe it's their land, their country, and their future. And even after all this time, Putin still doubts our staying power. He's still making a bad bet that the conviction and the unity among the United States and our allies and partners will break down. Today, our alliance remains a bulwark of global security and stability, as it's been for more than seven decades. NATO is stronger, more energized, and yes, more united than ever in its history.
And that's Joe Biden speaking yesterday at the NATO summit. Are you a fan of democracy? Do you think democracy is important, not only here in the United States, but abroad? Well, if you are, then you should be supporting NATO, just like our president does. Ukraine, and by the way, I'm getting back to this story now from Reuters. It says here, Ukraine has pushed for NATO membership while fighting a Russian invasion unleashed last year, February of 2022. NATO has avoided extending any firm commitments to Ukraine, worried it would risk taking it closer to a full-on war with Russia. As you probably know, when you're in NATO, you make an agreement that an attack on one NATO country is an attack on your country as well. So all of the NATO allies jump in and are supposed to assist with what may be going on when a NATO country is attacked. So that's why at this time, Joe Biden says it's probably not a good idea to let Ukraine in. But after the war is over, then I think he would support that. And he's said that much, as far as I can tell, by these words that he's using, although he doesn't want them in at this time. It says here, NATO allies agreed that Ukraine would join eventually when, quote, allies agree and conditions are met, but offered no details on when, if ever, Kyiv would meet such conditions. After his speech in Vilnius, Biden met with the leader of Belarus to, quote, underscore the continued commitment of the United States to defend and advance human rights, including freedom of expression and free and fair elections in Belarus, the White House said. By the way, the leader, the president, I should say, of Belarus is one of Putin's biggest allies. Quote, the idea that the United States could prosper without a secure Europe is not reasonable, Biden said, adding that the U.S. and its allies wanted an end to war on just terms. Quote, we will not waver. We will not waver. I mean that. Our commitment to Ukraine will not weaken. We will stand for liberty and freedom today, tomorrow, and for as long as it takes, Biden said in the speech. In contrast with former President Donald Trump, Biden made Washington by far the largest contributor to NATO, a driving force for strengthening the group. Trump, the Republican front runner to challenge Biden, a Democrat, in the November 2024 election, considered pulling out of the defense pact founded at the onset of the Cold War in 1949. And my guess is that if Trump is reelected, he would probably want to do that in his next administration as well, bail out of NATO. Republican presidential hopefuls seeking to unseat Biden have largely kept silent about Biden's performance during the NATO summit, suggesting they see little gain or little to gain by criticizing him. There is majority support in the United States for Washington's approach to the Russian invasion 500 days ago, polls show. Trump has long admired Putin and has expressed skepticism of extended U.S. involvement in the Ukraine war. On Tuesday, he criticized Biden's decision to send munitions to Ukraine. Trump faces an open primary against candidates, including former Vice President Mike Pence and one-time U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley, who have pushed for greater support of Ukraine. Haley on Tuesday criticized NATO and Biden for not committing to add Ukraine to the alliance. So no matter what Biden does, he gets criticized. Either he's doing too much or not enough. 8:47 right now. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today, 82. The wind will be from the west at 5 to 15. Partly cloudy this evening as chance of thunderstorms after midnight tonight, 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms, 84. The weekend, mostly sunny, upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Somewhere 8:51 right now, Three Dog Night on a Thursday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And Aaron, let me ask you this. All week long we've been talking about the big event that's going on in the sky, starting tonight, or maybe even last night they were originally predicting, but now there's been an update on that. You know what I'm talking about?
The Northern Lights.
Yeah, the Northern Lights. They got us all worked up saying it's going to be a big week for the Northern Lights. Wednesday night, Thursday night, you're going to see a huge light show in the sky. But now they're saying not so much, man. It's like they got us all worked up and ready to go. And this headline now from the Appleton Post-Crescent says Northern Lights likely won't be visible in Wisconsin on Thursday night. The Aurora Borealis, or the Northern Lights, will likely not be visible tonight in Wisconsin, according to NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center. That's because there are not enough disturbances in the magnetic field surrounding the Earth, which causes the Northern Lights to appear. NOAA measures geomagnetic activity with the Planetary K Index, shortened to KP, which describes these disturbances on a scale of 0 to 9. The KP is predicted to be 2 on Thursday night. In order to see the Northern Lights in Wisconsin, the K index needs to be at least 6, according to NOAA. As it is, the Northern Lights are expected to be visible in Canada, but not much further south. Dr. Terry G., director of Barlow Planetarium at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh's Fox Cities campus, told the Post-Crescent on Tuesday, quote, "It is very difficult to predict aurora more than 24 to 48 hours in advance." While reporting on possible auroras Thursday night was widespread, including from the USA Today Network Wisconsin, G said the initial prediction came from the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which forecasts about a month out. Fortunately, she said, and this is the good news part of the bad news. Fortunately, she said, Aurora fans may not have to wait long for the next display of the Northern Lights because of the sun entering an active phase. And she said, even if it doesn't work out this time, we'll have more chances for the aurora to happen in the coming months. So it may not happen tonight, but there will be other opportunities coming up in the future. So we'll look forward to that, and I'll try to keep you informed in case we do get word that there's some big lights on the way. But I wanted to mention a breaking news story while we have a few minutes here in this segment. This is from the New York Times. It says the FDA approves the first U.S. over-the-counter birth control pill. The price of the pill, which had not been announced, will determine how affordable it will be when it comes or when it becomes available in early 2024. So we have another 6 months or so to wait until this is actually on the shelves. But this was just updated a few minutes ago. It says the Food and Drug Administration on Thursday approved a birth control pill to be sold without a prescription for the first time in the United States, a milestone that could significantly expand access to contraception. The medication, called Opill, that's spelled O-P-I-L-L, will become the most effective birth control method available over-the-counter, more effective at preventing pregnancy than condoms, spermicides, and other non-prescription methods. Experts in reproductive health said its availability could be especially useful for young women, teenagers, and those who have difficulty dealing with the time, the costs, or logistical hurdles involved in visiting a doctor to obtain a prescription. The pill's manufacturer, Perrigo Company, based in Dublin, said Opill would most likely become available from stores and online retailers in the United States in early 2024. The company did not say how much the medication would cost, a key question that will help determine how many people will use the pill, but Frederica Wellgren, Perrigo's global vice president for women's health, said in a statement that the company was committed to making the pill, quote, accessible and affordable to women and people of all ages. Ms. Wellgren has also said the company would have a consumer assistance program to provide the pill at no cost to some women, quote, today's approval marks the first time a non-prescription daily oral contraceptive will be available or will be an available option for millions of people in the United States. Dr. Patrizia Cabazzoni, director of the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, said in a statement, quote, when used as directed, daily oral contraception is safe and is expected to be more effective than currently available non-prescription contraceptive methods in preventing unintended pregnancy, end quote. So that's some good news coming out of the FDA. We got 8:57 and a half right now. Going to take a break. Top of the hour news break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
You whined me and dined me when I was your girl. Promised if I'd be your wife, you'd show me the world. But all I've seen of this old world is a bed and a doctor bill. I'm tearing down your brooder house, 'cause now I've got the pill. All these years I've stayed at home while you had all your fun. And every year that's gone by, another baby's come. There's gonna be some changes made right here on Nursery Hill. You set this chicken your last time, 'cause now I've got the pill. This old maternity dress I've got is going in the garbage. The clothes I'm wearing from now on won't pick up so much yardage. Mini skirts, hot pants, and a few little fancy frills.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin DeVos and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.